We look around, but we do not see. We hear all these sounds, but fail to listen. We talk the talk so eloquently, but when the time comes to walk the walk, we just turn a blind eye. We have become an audience like those who sit around soccer fields with nice comfy seats and plenty of food and drinks to last for the game. We have become an audience who just sits on the sidelines. We're the audience to the cries of those who cry for justice, wondering if justice was ever just, because now it's just them and their Lord.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Rogue Muslim Podcast. This week, I am doing a pre-check-in for the 14th spiritual habit. I have no idea how quickly time has gone, and I just, to be honest with you, I'm just a little bit shocked that I've stuck to 14. Sometimes I think when we try and set ourselves tasks and goals, I'm not the most goal-oriented person. So for me, I was really worried. I was thinking, can I actually follow through this? Can I commit to it? Can I constantly be updating on it? But alhamdulillah, so far we're going 14 strong. I'm just really looking forward to what this next, batch of habits. I kind of split up 1 to 12 and then 13 to 26. I'm just interested to see where it goes. I was on such a high and then a low, and now I'm hoping to get into a high with this habit and allowing it to take root in my mind and my practice. You don't even know what it is. Well, you do from the title. This next habit is to recite the verse of Basmallah. So Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just before any action I take, I think I've mentioned in the past, I have a friend who she's always reciting this before getting up, before holding a pot of tea, before, I don't know, opening her laptop. Like everything she does, she just recites it. And I was so fascinated with it, and I'm just wondering, I don't think, and blah. In the beginning I was like, okay, you're just too religious, like why are you doing it, what's the point of it? And then I think it's just about capacity, right? Like we're all on this ladder, and I don't think anybody should be knocking anyone off one another's ladders. I think there's a hadith around that, but we need to help each other. And I think just her, through her consistency and her practice, it kind of just resonated. We've never talked about it, and I never told her, like, oh, that's a bit too religious or whatever. It was just a form of judgment that I had. And judgment comes from when you're not in the place, or you feel that you're not doing enough, or you just don't feel right about your spirituality or whatever, right? So for me, I'm now at the stage where I think that, I've built up all these habits, I've built up this relationship with Allah that I, inshallah, is a little bit more meaningful and deeper than it was a year prior. And I think I'm at this stage where I can start saying this and start incorporating this into my lifestyle in a way that actually resonates with me and has meaning to me, and not just, well, I'll do it because she does it, or I don't know. It doesn't feel burdensome. It doesn't feel that I'm being too religious. I've evolved from that kind of narrative, I think. With the more you work on your capacity, the greater that space opens up, and Allah gives you more opportunities to connect with Him, I think. At least that's what I've learned so far with this series and being very intentional. And that's the other thing, right? Like, I want to have an intentional niyyah around this, and I'm hoping that it further communicates to me the power of being intentional with your niyyah. Honest to God, that is the biggest lesson I've learned throughout this series, and one, inshallah, that I take with me for the rest of my life: the power of having intentions to do right. And I think with this, what hopefully will be will come through and what will be interesting is that if I am stamping the will of God, the name of God onto every action I do, you know, how will I better purify that intention? How will I better purify that act? You know, what will it allow me to consider? And I don't think this is going to be an immediate thing, you know. I don't think it's like Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and then all of a sudden my whole framework and my understanding of this action has changed or whatever, right? Like, I think that it builds up because the more you seek God, the more you find God. And hopefully the more I seek God in each act, the more I will find Him and what I can do with that act to have a greater capacity for taqwa, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's a verse that is very beautiful and that we are constantly encouraged to recite. I think it's the Prophet Muhammad who says that anyone who recites Bismillah will record 4,000 virtues for him for each letter and forgive 4,000 of his sins. So I need that. I think we all need that. I think, you know, it's those tiny little sins that build up that we think don't really have an effect, but really cause us to be blind to Allah. Hopefully with reciting Bismillah and this verse, hopefully that blindness also decreases, right? And God consciousness increases and shaitanic consciousness goes away slowly but surely, inshallah. I think, yeah, that's kind of the main thing that I'm hoping to get out of this, you know, and will me being trying to purify my intention and putting God in everything, will that allow me to further realize that this is a very transitory period, that we're not meant for this world and that we are meant for the afterlife? So will I be able to see through the facade of this world and seek out or build the roots and the foundations for my inshallah success in the afterlife? So yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping. I just want to share a few quick commentaries on the verse itself. So there's a vast selection of commentary, right, regarding this verse, and so I'm not going to go through all of it, obviously. I don't even know all of it, but just through some research I found some that I found resonated with me. So in the commentary of Dua Kumail by Hussein Ansarian, he states that there was once a mystic who observed that the ba in Bismillah connotes the beginning of the mystical treading onto the path of Allah. And from the ba to seen, so bism, right, ba to seen, that is connotes the secret of knowing Allah, where we're in this endless desert of ignorance. And so the hiding of that alif, ba, you know, when you say bism, there is that hiding of the alif, and it's in this vast desert. So that implies that if the seeker does not dissolve his egotism in the light of Allah's unity, he will not reach mean, which connotes the ultimate intention. So I think it's quite deep, and I think it's sometimes we read these things and we're not at the state to really allow it to enter into our hearts and our minds and our lifestyles, and sometimes we are, or we need a reminder, right? But just this idea that we can become so connected to God, and I think for me that's one of the beauties of Islam, where I'm constantly seeking, so it never gets purposeless, right? And I want to make that connection with Allah. And I think in this time, this day and age, it can feel that we often have a lack of purpose, especially with COVID and our lifestyles changing and stuff. So that's just one thing, and I hope that in invoking this verse of Basmallah, I can consistently tread the path of lowering my egotism and lowering how my ego kind of increases my blindness to Him. As well as I don't know, just giving purpose to day to day, because sometimes, you know, it's so hard to get out of bed and do things and have this motivation and stuff. And so even if the only thing I accomplish that day is gaining proximity to Allah, even if it's only saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, even if it's only purifying my intention, I mean, that to me now, I see that as success for not only this life and but the afterlife, right? And so it's those small things that build up that can have greater impact than we think we do. The next thing in the same commentary of Dua Kumail, it's also stated that Ba implies the observant, Sin implies the all-hearing, and Mim implies the counter. So it's as if Allah is making the supplicant aware that I am the observant, I can observe your visible and invisible deeds to avoid the hypocrisy in your action, and I'm the all-hearing, I can also hear the result of your deeds and supplications. So avoid useless speech, and I am the counter. So I can even count your breath, so beware of every moment. And this to me was probably the biggest one that stuck. That if imagine if I died in the next 30 seconds, right? Imagine if I died tomorrow. I want to die saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inshallah, right? Or obviously as well, La ilaha illallah. But I want to die invoking the name of Bismillah or invoking the name of Allah. And so it's Allah that counts our breath. He is the counter. And he's, how many more breaths do I have to invoke him to purify my intentions, to make better my actions, and to not just be really useless with my actions and the time, and not take advantage of the time that I have just because I'm a youth. I think that I have a lot of time. Never the case, right? And I just want to be, I don't know, I'm hoping that with being more intentional about purifying my deeds and you know, even I think when I want to sin, right, whatever those sins are, major, minor, whatever it is, I'm hoping that even if I invoke this verse of Basmala, you know, will it make me pause and reflect, like, what is the purpose of this? Why am I doing this? What will its impact be on not just myself and my soul and my hereafter, but that of the of other people as well? So I'm wondering if it will just cause me to have a lack of desire to sin, inshallah. I don't know. Let's see. And the last thing I want to share is that in the Quran that I usually use, it's called the Study Quran. It says that the ordering of the three divine names. So this is the commentary from Surah Fatiha, and it's the commentary on the first verse. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So it says, the ordering of the three divine names in Basmala can be seen as an allusion to the levels of divinity in relation to the created order. So God Allah refers to the divine essence, principle, or self. Then Ar-Rahman, the compassionate, refers to the unity of God's attributes. And Ar-Rahim, the merciful, is the unity of God's acts. I'm just trying to figure out how I can unify God in everything I do, right? And in the beginning of the year, I was invoking his attributes. So now how can I put those attributes into my actions, right? How can I unify all of this and become principled with it, inshallah? So yeah, that's kind of what my intentions are with this particular habit. Inshallah, please wish me well that I can do it. I have been practicing it, but I have 10 days left to do it. It's crazy. I don't know where these months are going. So yeah, please wish me luck. If you are going to do it, or if you have been doing any of the habits, I'd love to hear an update. And I'm usually accessible through Instagram and Twitter. So it's @TheRogueMuslim. My Facebook is @TheRogueMuslim, or you can just email me. It's TheRogueMuslim@gmail.com. And if these podcasts are of any benefit to you, I'd really, really appreciate it if you could leave a rating on whatever podcasting platform you listen to podcasts on. It's really easy. It takes less than 2 minutes, but it really just helps gain traction and adds me to more lists and more people can listen. So if you think that these are a benefit and other people should listen to it, I just really appreciate a rating and a review, or even if you could share it on your social media, that would just, yeah, it would just be really appreciated, inshallah. We can get more people enter into this habit series, and I'd just love to hear more and more stories of people's efforts in doing these things. So yeah, I love having spiritual conversations with people. It's one of my favorite things, and I think it's one of the best ways that we can consistently revive our intentions to Allah and to seek the beauty of Islam. And because it's so hard sometimes in this day and age, I think we know it's a beautiful religion and faith, but to advance that the vision of beauty can sometimes be difficult when we are so flawed and when we are increasingly tantalized by things that we shouldn't be, right? And that impacts obviously our akhlaq, our connection to Allah, it tethers us more to the trials of this world, and etc., etc. So yeah, that was a little bit of a tangent, but yeah, and thank you so much for tuning in, for the kind messages, for letting me know where you are on your journeys, and I just love the conversations that I've been able to have with people over the years. It's really, really appreciated. So yeah, until next time when I give you an update, I hope everyone is safe, and oh yeah, du'as for this week, inshallah, if we can give du'as for people who have faced injustices in the form where they are displaced. So for those that are internally displaced or refugees who have had to resettle, inshallah, we pray that we hold our governments accountable for the being the reason that many of them are displaced and have to seek refuge elsewhere and then face further discrimination there. So yeah, it's just mad how much the shittiness of this world is based on our human actions and how much control we actually have over it. It's disheartening and hopeful at the same time. But yeah, Surah Fatiha for those who have lost their lives to the reasons that have caused displacement, so war, famine, climate injustice, colonial consequences of colonialism, etc. So yeah, and inshallah, everyone is safe and well, and speak to you soon. Take care. Bye.